Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Good morning. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the immortal, the invincible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, the most glorious, the most ancient, the ancient of days, as a matter of fact. And it is in his name that we gather today to give him praise. My name is Debo Hombele, and I am a third-year theological student at Mukanyo Theological College. I am currently studying at the campus in Kwamhlanga, yet I am a resident of Welkom. I'm from the Free State, and Welkom is about an hour and 20 minutes north of Bloemfontein. There's nothing much that I can say for myself or about myself except for the fact that I've been a benefactor of God's patience, of God's grace, that I've benefited so much from the love of God that if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here with a sound mind and a sound heart that wants to yearn for him. And I am hoping and I am praying that this grace also comes into our hearts, into all of our hearts, and that we learn to live lives which are pleasing to God ultimately. For our consideration today, I'm going to be talking about the God who can do all things. And I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. God's word says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So, this section that I've chosen is referred to as a doxology. And a doxology is when people prepare their hearts for the worship of the glory of God. It is when we set aside our own glories and we look at God and we find his majesty as something to be worshipped. We find his glory as something to be given praise to. And this doxology doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens within a prayer that Paul has from verses 14 to 19, where he's basically praying that the gospel, that the fullness of God may become apparent in the lives of the saints at the church of Ephesus, that the truth of the gospel appears to them in a practical way, that their theology about God, about Christ as the Son of God resurrected from the dead, is practical. It's something that they can use. It's a source for them to use every single day in their lives. And this doesn't happen or isn't happening. How am I going to put this? Paul makes this request to God because he knows that only God is capable of revealing such to the heart of man. If we really want the heart of the gospel to become apparent and true in our lives, we won't be able to prevail unless it's God who works, because he can work the truth of the gospel more than we can think and more than we can do for ourselves. God is the powerful one. God is the almighty one in this instance. And who is this God is the first thing that I want us to talk about today. And this God, according to the first article of the Belgic Confession, which says, "We believe in all our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God, eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just and good, and the overflowing source of good." This is the God that Paul is referring to here, a God of justice, a God of goodness, a God of mercy, a God who is the overflowing source of goodness. And these attributes are greater than we can even think. God's goodness is greater than whatever concept of goodness that we can think of. God's justice is greater than whatever concept of justice we can conjure together. Every single word that we can use to ascribe to God does not truly give us the picture of the abundance that is in him, because he's transcendent, he's holy, he's different. And this idea that this God is a God who is above all of our performances, all of our thoughts, all of our renderings, should give us comfort as believers, because this displays power, the power of God. And this is the same power that Paul stresses again in verse 20, saying that this power is working in us. This power, particularly the power to make the gospel more apparent in our lives, in the lives of everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. It's this power that is at work within every single believer. And this means that every single day of your life is governed by God's existence. It's governed by God's power. From your waking in the morning to your sleeping at night, it's God who has sanctioned it. God is the power that is working throughout your everyday life. From the words that you pray as a Christian, from your repentance to the things that you find joy and glory in that are in Christ, these things will not be present, they will not be apparent, if it wasn't for the power of God. And God's power is above what we can think or do. This means that we can rely on this power for everything. We look at the world, we look at South Africa, we see the problems that possess our country. We know that there is a God who can perform way better than we can perform or even think. There is a solution to the problems of the world, and those solutions are in the power of God. It's God Himself who is capable to do every single thing that the human heart yearns for. And there's rest in believers for that. You can enjoy being a Christian, knowing that God is your Father and that He does more than you can ever think or imagine. Not only this, but verse 21, on the other hand, stresses that God, being the one who is able to do all of these things, demands that He gets given the glory. But how do we truly give God glory? To Him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we can ever think or ask, to Him be given the glory. How do we espouse glory to a God that's so powerful? And we do so by being perfect, by fulfilling the requirements of His law. This is the only way that Christians can give God glory in the truest sense, that anybody or anything that has ever been created can give glory to God in its truest sense. It's when it fulfills its purpose. It's when that thing or that person does what it was supposed to do. And for us Christians, for us who are living in the church age today, even for those who aren't believers, the requirement for us to give God the glory is that we worship Him, we love Him with our hearts, with our souls, with our strength, with our mind, as Matthew 22 suggests. This is the only way that a Christian, that anybody, can give glory to God fully. It's by loving Him with all of your might, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. But let us be honest here. We fail at this. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that we fail on this. In the book of Romans chapter 6, it says that all of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every single one of us fails perpetually to love God with everything that we have. And there's a stern warning here which says that the people who do fail to give God the glory have a just condemnation waiting for them. Every single person, every single one, nobody is exempt from this. Every single person who fails to give God glory is liable for His judgment. And God provides a remedy for us in Christ Jesus, the one who does fulfill God's law, the one who is able to carry us. And He offers us forgiveness, He offers us grace, He is able to save more than we can ever think or imagine. His blood is able to cleanse, and every single person who calls on His name will be delivered. This is the God that can do all things. He gives us hope, He gives us rest, but ultimately He gives us faith and hope that He will forgive us for our sins if we call on the name of the Lord.
And that's amen. man, that's Tebogompele coming out there. What a powerful word. I've been running around, but I've caught snippets of the message, and I must say, absolutely potent. Very good afternoon once again to you. It's been a busy afternoon. It is Friday's edition, Monday's edition of Spectrum. Looks like I'm at the end of the week already. I don't know where I'm rushing to. We've just begun with the week, but here I am. And speaking of Tebogompele, Tebogo is from Mukanyo Theological College. He is one of the students there. And not only am I having him this afternoon sharing that powerful word, but I've also got Reverend Isaac Maleke. Good afternoon, Rev, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Luko.
I need you to have your headphones so you can hear me perfectly well, so we can have our chat nicely.
Okay.
Reverend, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, then. I'm really privileged to be here.
Oh, man, it's absolutely amazing to have you in studio this afternoon. Maybe let's start here, Reverend. Who are you to Mukanyo Theological College? What role do you play?
Well, my role is the Dean of Students, and basically all matters student-related fall on my desk. I deal directly with all our students.
You're the one who I nudge when things are not going really great, and I'm like, Karev, whip up something for me. Now, let's talk about Mukanyo Theological College, Rev. Maybe if you can give us a bit of a, you know, I love stories. Maybe if you can give us a bit of a story. How far back do you guys go, by the way? How old is the institution? And maybe when you joined us, let us know, how has your journey been with them?
Mukanyo Theological College goes back many years. Informally, that should be around 1993, with basically unaccredited church-based training, training laity. And then as the institution grew, it became much more formalized to accredited qualifications, and basically now focusing on training pastors for churches.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you spoke about how you guys started informally. I want to believe that there is some form of accreditation at this point in time. I mean,
yes.
1993, I mean, it was a very long time ago.
Yeah.
I was 2 years old in 1993, so it's almost as old as I am.
Yeah.
And I always say the number of years for institutions also speak of credibility.
Indeed.
Because
indeed.
What else would be making you stand up until this point in time?
I mean, from if you think about it, we started at the back of a local church, basically.
Wow.
Using wooden huts as classrooms.
What?
With just five students at that point.
Mm.
And then the Lord blessed the ministry, and many people bought into the vision at that point, because there were a number of churches which are basically interdenominational, who approached a missionary was working in the area called Bob Rebel, to say, please, can you offer something that can equip pastors? We have churches, we are leading churches, some of us can't even read.
Sure.
What do we do in leading these churches? What form of training can you give us so that at least we can give our people something that's tangible? And it was out of that quest, we call it the Macedonian call, so to speak. It was out of that then Dr. Philip Bass was called in from Potchefstroom and was brought in to start building the foundations for more training, more teachings. And that's how then he started visiting churches, speaking to pastors, gathering them in the area called Tembaletu. And we, before we knew what, there was something going on there. Even if it wasn't accredited at that point. But then efforts started to be in place to say, look, let's formalize this.
Yeah.
Let's do something that is of value so that somebody who has gone through the program doesn't feel like, you know, I wasted my time,
yeah.
I wasted years.
Because it's not just any regular Bible study group.
Yes, yes. And so at that point, our initial accreditation was with what used to be Potchefstroom University for Christian Higher Education, which has since become Northwest University.
Wow.
But then later on, we started moving towards acquiring our own accreditation. And now we are fully accredited through DHET, SACWA, and CHE.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So you moved from, you know, this small hut, like you said, into having another higher institution actually endorse you and say, we're willing to make sure that your students, you know, get accredited qualifications. Mm. And from there, you graduated to actually being accredited yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, in about 32 years, growing to that level, man, I must say, it can only be God.
It can truly only be God. Definitely.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think very, very important, as you're speaking of accreditations, you know, as you were speaking, Rev, I thought to myself of how many times, you know, I come from the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rural areas. I come from a rural area, actually. Mm. And as you're speaking, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, how many times have we voluntarily, especially in the rural areas, decided to pursue the studying of the word, be it through, you know, Bible study groups. And you come to the city, then you realize it's not just about your calling only. I mean, oftentimes we get accused of the most gruesome things as Christians. We don't want to work. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. But then you come to the city and you realize there's a space for Christians who are intentional about pursuing education.
Indeed.
And I think it really excites me when I hear of institutions such as yours who say, we want you to do this formally. And it must be accredited so that it positions you in a place that says, even in the marketplace, the Christian curriculum is just as relevant.
Indeed, Luko, because, you know, since we pursued accreditation as well, that has given us an opportunity for growth and expansion. Because starting from just a place that's in the middle of nowhere, to growing to now five locations.
Wow.
Basically, we have a location here in, besides the one in Kwamhlanga, we have a location here in Wonderboom South in Pretoria, Rustenburg, Bramfontein.
Wow. So these are literally like your studying campuses.
Yes, these are campuses. And Pinetown. And we started this year with Cape Town now.
So you are literally across provinces.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe let's talk about the structure of your institution. Mm. How do you, because now I'm hearing you speak of Pinetown. I lived in Pinetown for a number of years. That's in KZN.
Yeah.
I hear you speak of Ekap, Cape Town, and you're, these are different locations.
Yes.
So my question is, do you then cater for those people in those communities, or is there a way, because I understand it's a digital world. Have you guys moved towards a digital space where if I'm in the Eastern Cape and you guys are not there yet, I'm at liberty to actually enroll and do distance? Do you cater for that?
Our model of education is this, that we say we believe in high quality in service training for church leaders and other Christians. So we work with the churches. We serve the churches. The churches are our primary client.
You beat me to it, Rev, because I was about to ask, seeing as though you started in churches, what is the formula? So you work with churches still?
Yes, we work with churches.
Okay.
We have a contact, which is done at centers that have, some of them are full campuses, some of them are in the process of being declared campuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the process is still on the side of CHE.
Okay.
But we do, around every campus, we have what we call local learning sites.
Oh.
And basically it's facilitated learning,
mm-hmm.
which is basically decentralized in such a way that it's based in churches.
Oh.
And then out of those churches, then we identify qualified individuals who share our vision,
mm-hmm.
and then we bring them in as tutors.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So it's not just some random, go ahead, here's a book, teach. It's not a Bible study. It's a proper institution.
Yes. And we want to hold our tutors accountable. We want to also maintain quality and make sure that what the student is getting on campus is of the same standard as what he's getting at a local learning site, for instance.
I like the idea of that. So basically, speaking of working with churches, how does that really look like, Rev? Because I do understand, I remember back in the day, there was a church that would send a group of students to a particular province. I think it was actually in Northwest, if I remember well. Okay. And they would go and study there. So do you say, all right, we're working with this church because we've established this number, let's say, for instance, in the Eastern Cape, then we establish a site there? Or is it a matter of you uproot them to a particular province where you feel their needs would be catered? How do you do it exactly? Is there accommodation even?
Yeah. Often, even the way our campuses have grown, it's often organic growth,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that they grow naturally.
Oh.
And as they grow naturally, then the need is established to say, you know what, we are drawing more students in this area.
Okay.
Can't we help them by establishing something close by to them?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so we do it that way. And unfortunately, we have only one campus that has accommodation. And that is Kwamhlanga, the main campus.
Okay.
There we have dormitories and other facilities, lodging facilities and so on.
Okay.
So often you will have a student, for instance, saying, you know what, my campus is too far. For instance, we have one student who is from Cape Town. He said, you know what, the site where you have established a campus,
it's still far from
still
me.
Still very far from me, and very costly when it comes to transport.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that maybe I could rather come over to Guam and be on campus and then cut some of these costs?
Wow.
And so then he comes in, and because we do have what we call a bursary, that makes it easier for people who come from very far to be accommodated under that bursary scheme.
Absolutely love that. Yeah. Now you've mentioned the different branches that you have, Rev. I think what's important, we are aware of these branches that you have now. Yeah. I think what's important for us to understand also is what types of qualifications do you offer? Is it degrees, diploma, higher certificates? What type of qualifications?
The qualifications we offer, we offer higher certificate in Bible, higher certificate in Bible in church ministry, and higher certificate in Bible teaching.
Okay.
Those are accredited at 120 credit.
Oh wow!
Each. NQF
level 5?
Level
4?
NQF level 6. Oh. Yes. And then we have NQF level 5, sorry.
Yeah, high certificate NQF is level 5, five, yes.
Sorry. And then we have BTH, which is NQF level 7.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have three kinds of BTHs okay. that we offer.
BTH means?
Bachelor's degree in theology.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we have three streams of that BTH,
mm-hmm.
depending on whether someone wants to, for instance, go straight as being a pastor,
mm-hmm.
In which case then courses like language courses, biblical mm-hmm. language courses like Greek and Hebrew will be offered there.
Sure.
And then there will be a stream that is basically aimed at those who do not necessarily want to be pastors, but mm. they want to be Christian workers in various fields.
Okay.
And we basically, there are three categories. But then we do have a bachelor's degree honors in theology. Mm. That's we offer it only in Pretoria
mm-hmm.
campus, and we're hoping to roll it out to Cape Town as well. And so right now we are in the process of applying for accreditation for a master's degree.
Mm. Wow.
The submissions have already been made to the relevant accrediting bodies.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I'm glad that you make sure that things are done by the book.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard of mm. colleges mushrooming up. Next thing you hear, they've got a degree. And one day you find out, it's not accredited. So I love that. It's excellency in the kingdom. It speaks yeah. volumes to me.
Yeah.
I think, Rev, before you wrap it up, what word of encouragement do you have for a Luko who's sitting here and I'm like, I'm not too sure if I should do theology? There's always a saying that every single person has got to have a law degree in their lifetime. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, aye man, it must be the same with us, especially as believers. So what would you like to say to Christians who are two minds about it? I'm not too sure if I should really do this or not.
I think every Christian has a responsibility to grow
mm-hmm.
And also in areas such as discernment,
mm-hmm.
being able to differentiate between right and wrong
mm-hmm.
and sound teaching and
yeah.
what is wrong. Because let's face it, people are being taken for a ride.
True.
There's so much emotionalism where people are basically moving in terms of I feel this, I felt this,
mm.
I heard this voice.
Mm. And, there's too many voices going
yes.
on.
How do you differentiate whether that voice is the right voice?
Exactly.
And so I think the best way for us to be able to do that and grow in it in discernment
mm.
is to go back to the scriptures.
Exactly.
And to learn the basic principles of how do I make sense of mm. my Bible.
Mm.
Because you can have the Bible, but you may be lost within your Bible.
True.
So there are specific ways of approaching Scripture
mm-hmm.
and profiting from it.
Yeah.
And theological training is a wonderful opportunity that will also help us to notice some of the errors
mm.
that are there.
True.
Let's face it, South Africa in recent years has been a fertile ground for all kinds of
charlatans.
Abuses even mm. from the church
mm.
And all of which have been using the same book.
Exactly.
See,
exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
People have been abused in the churches.
Mm.
People have been traumatized in the mm. churches. People have been taken for a ride. People have lost life savings.
Yeah, true.
In the name of the Bible,
mm.
and when you read, when you follow some of these teachings, you realize that it's a sculpted teaching that is aimed at manipulating people.
True.
And we need to be able as Christians to say we grow. When the Bible says do not be deceived, it means you have a responsibility not to be deceived.
To make sure you're not deceived.
So if you get deceived, you can't blame
you lacked somewhere yourself. I'd love to get details in case somebody wants to enroll. I think if you can just give us your contact details, how do you reach out to the college? And also, while we're at it, are applications or registrations still open? We just got into March. So when can we enroll and how do we reach out to the institution?
Mukanyeth operates in terms of semesters.
Okay.
So the first semester has already started. Mm-hmm. So applications for the first semester are closed. Mm-hmm. But for the second semester, they're open.
Perfect.
So we start in July for the second semester.
Mm-hmm.
We are available on our website, www.mukanyo.ac.za.
That's very critical. .ac.za. You don't write .co.za. And you know what? They find duplicate. You get there, you find a legit looking website. That time it's not it. So the website is the best place to reach out.
Yeah.
Reverend.
All our details are there.
All the details are there. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us your time and apologies for that little miss. You know what it is.
Yeah, I know you understand.
But thank you so much and thanks for coming through. God
thanks
bless you.
Thanks for the privilege. Yeah. God bless you and your and all our family and brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.